April 6th, and this is Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. You're listening to Scrawl Radio, hurried but well-considered thoughts about peer writing tutoring and the writing process, brought to you by the University Center for Writing-Based Learning, a.k.a. the Aqua Bowl. I'm your host, Gia Z, joined by my lovely and beautiful co-host, Katie A. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited for the first show of the spring quarter.
Yeah, this is our first show back. We're very excited. Unfortunately, Kate H. is not here. She's gallivanting in California, but it's fine. Zoe K. is also here. Zoe, how are you doing?
I'm wonderful. Oh, it does not feel like spring, but we are back in the spring.
Yes,
so,
exactly. You know. So today we're going to be talking about high school writing centers. We have some very special guests here from Carl Sandburg High School. We have Eric. Eric, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
You're welcome. We have Amanda.
Hi.
And we have Laura.
Hello.
So you guys are here visiting
DePaul's
Writing Center, the Aqua Bowl,
University Center for Writing-Based Learning.
And what are you doing here? Why are you here, basically? What's up?
Okay, we're all tutors at our Lit Lab in Sandburg, and we're just here to learn more about the tutoring process, here to learn about writing, because we obviously help a lot of kids with that, and improving our own writing helps improve theirs as well.
Love that. Wow. So many core beliefs in there. I heard them. do you guys want to, like, give a little blurb about yourself, just, like, your name, your grade, what you like? Just introduce yourself to our listeners.
I'm Eric Johnson. I am a senior at Carl Sandburg, and I plan on majoring in music education.
Ooh, good.
I'm Amanda Pavic. I'm a junior at Carl Sandburg, and I'm not exactly sure what I'm planning on majoring in, but I still have time, so I'm just looking around.
Yeah, that's okay.
And I'm Laura Kinikavichus, and I'm also a senior at Sandburg. And I'm planning on majoring in bio and specifically going into genetics later on.
Wow. Oh, I love genetics. I was almost a geneticist.
Really?
Yeah. Didn't know that. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that about Zoe. That was very interesting to me.
Yeah. New fact. New factoid.
I also just want to say you have a very fun last name, Laura.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. It's always fun because people often will mispronounce it. So it's all good.
What's the origin of that?
Lithuanian.
Oh.
Love that.
Ooh. I'm into it.
Mm-hmm. So, do you want to?
All right. So, we have these lovely young people on Scrawl Radio today to talk about their writing center, which is called Lit Lab, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, can you just give us a bit of a rundown about, like, I guess, how this functions? Like, what do you do on a normal shift, if you will, if a normal session when you go in and you're a tutor? How does this work?
Right. So being a tutor, you'll come in and we often just have like a sign-in sheet, and then we have students from whatever grade to come in for help on their essays or writing or even something like vocab, and the tutors will just automatically reach out to them and will kind of do activities or help them review their essays to kind of help them improve their grades and yeah.
So you don't have like a preset schedule going on where it's just like as first comes first serve kind of function?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. And we usually always have enough tutors for everyone.
Okay,
so
that's good.
It always works out.
Oh, that's good.
I think I overheard when you folks were talking with your instructor. Is it like something that happens during the school day, like during the class periods you already have, or is it like an after school thing, or is it both?
So it often happens during our lunch hour, but like half of our lunch hour.
Okay.
So you can go in for 4A, or you can can have lunch for 4A and then come into the Lit Lab, or you can just stay there the whole hour like most of us do and eat your lunch in the Lit Lab and still help people.
Dedicated. Oh. Wow.
Okay.
Giving up lunches over here.
It often smells good in there.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It smells good.
Yeah, where's the space? Is this a library situation? Is this a classroom?
We actually have a classroom, so it's kind of doubles as an English language classroom and also the Lit Lab. But most kids like do know it as the Lit Lab since there are more students that go there. There are just different centers. We have like a math center, a science center, and it's all like during study halls and lunch periods, and so we just have a bunch of classrooms for those.
Very cool. So we wanted to talk a little bit about how you guys became tutors and how you were like is there any like training that went into this? Like,
did
you know,
how did you
apply to this? Was
did you just show up and were like, hey, I want a tutor?
You're just like, we're doing this now, and they're like, okay, here's some students.
Yeah. So usually we kind of learn about the tutoring process because we've gone in ourselves for help. On our essays, and so we kind of already knew about it, but yes, there is an application process. You have to be recommended by a teacher, and then it's pretty simple actually, but once you're accepted, then you go through a training process on how to actually tutor students.
Right.
Nice. Here at the Equable, we got several little sayings, but one of them is nice people, good writers.
Yeah.
So that's how we describe our tutors. And I like that, you know, Laura's thinking about bio and Eric's thinking about music, because it says that, you know, not everyone has to be like an excellent writer, you know, with great mechanics, but just people who want to talk about writing, want to help out, want to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. That seems like you guys got that over at your Lit Lab as well.
Yeah. Love that. Yeah. The training process at the Equable is kind of similar.
I would say it's a little more intensive.
It's more intense. You have to take a whole class.
I mean, just like, no, but just like the application process, because we have like a formal application, we have test writing, and then we have interview process. You have to have recommendations from preferably, I think, teachers at DePaul. But we also have like a really weird interview where we have to like teach them something to show how we teach. I taught a yoga pose.
I taught them how to make friendship bracelets.
That's good.
What'd you taught a yoga pose?
Yeah. The tree pose.
It just seems so vulnerable for like an interview process. Like, were you in business cash in yoga?
No, I was fully in business cash. And I was like, okay, everyone stand up. Take your shoes off if you need to.
Wow.
And I made them all, like, Katie Brown was out here, like, trying to balance on one leg, like, doing her yoga pose. It was great.
I love it.
It was wonderful. Yeah. But, yeah, do you guys have any interest in, like, continuing writing centers if your, like, prospective colleges in the future, like, offers them?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping on, like, I'm planning on doing something with writing in college and something along those lines. So I really hope that the college that I do look at, they have stuff like this, because I think that it really helps not only the student that's looking for help, but also the teacher that's teaching them. And I think that through tutoring, I've learned so much about, like, my own writing that it's just really helped me improve, too.
That's great. And I would have to agree that I think understanding like a tutoring process and going through that and like being external also does help a lot with internal
reflection.
Let's talk about our core value, our reflection.
We love to reflect.
Equable has several core values and beliefs, and one of them is reflection. Like after I'm done working with, you know, students here at DePaul, I often think, oh, well, like I'm really like I like giving advice to, like about writing to other people, yet I don't follow any of my own advice where I'm like, yeah, make an outline. Take this a step at a time. Don't do it last minute. And here I am 5 a.m. with a paper due in 3 hours and I'm scrambling and free writing up the wazoo. Yeah, I'm getting off topic.
Just a smidge.
So yeah.
I have another question.
Yeah, you go.
So you've mentioned that students of all grades can come in, and that you usually go in, and that's how you find out about the tutoring process. Mm-hmm. So is it like required your freshman year that you go into the Lit Lab, or is this something that people just actively choose to go to?
So some teachers often take their students into the Lit Lab to like show them that this exists and there are people here to help. Like
beautiful.
English students,
mm-hmm.
and others just tell them that this exists, go find it, and
okay,
they assume everyone knows where it is. There's signs everywhere.
Yeah, we also have a lot of teachers that bring in their students and have them get stamps for projects. So if a teacher sees that a student is struggling or wants them to kind of go over stuff and peer edit with other kids, they'll actually have them get their assignment stamped and signed by a tutor or a teacher in there so that they know that they're getting the help that they need. And it's just really helpful for teachers to kind of make sure that kids are actually going over their papers instead of just writing it once and kind of leaving it.
That's extremely similar to us a lot of times. So like at DePaul, you usually have to take Word or like an honors English class, you know, to start off as a freshman or sophomore. So most of those teachers will require their students to come to the Writing Center, and it becomes kind of like a mandatory thing, which a lot of times it's frustrating to be working with someone who is kind of on there under duress, but a lot of times it's not, because they are getting exposed and they are more apt to come in, and it's just like a place where they can now learn about it, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to have that push.
Yes, indeed.
We all need a little push. We all need a little push sometimes, you know. So you guys have been here at the Writing Center. When did you get here this morning?
Nine?
Okay.
For 2 hours now?
Yeah, you've been here for 2 hours. What have you been what have you been doing? Like, what are some of the activities that you're anticipating?
We played an icebreaker, which was around with some of you guys mixed in with us. Uh-huh. So we played icebreakers, asking us, there were a few questions in there, like why you became a tutor. Mm. My favorite one was, would you rather fight a moose-sized goose or 100 moose-sized?
Yeah, no, that's a favorite of our
icebreaker.
Yeah, it's a favorite icebreaker. I've heard Tyler throw that out many a time.
Tyler uses that every time he meets somebody new.
Yeah.
I think he's always asking us, like, who we want to fight.
That's true. I think he just wants to fight people.
Yeah, I think Tyler has a lot of, like, pent-up rage. Anyways.
That's for next show.
That's next show. We'll analyze Tyler's rage, whether he has it or not. So you guys have been doing icebreakers and stuff. Any other, like, activities? Do you have any idea, like, what you're going to be doing today in general?
Yeah, we were asked to also bring something, like a project or an essay, some writing sample that we are working on, and we're going to kind of have a little tutoring session with the tutors here from DePaul.
That's so exciting!
Yeah, it is. It's going to be great just to have more people, and especially, like, students at the college level looking at some of our work, and I think mm-hmm. it's going to be really helpful as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
I think it's just exciting to, like, have a day off from school, you know?
Yeah, you guys could just skip school.
Aren't your peers, right? Like, in, like,
jealous
history right now?
Whatever happens at high school is, like, arithmetic.
Yeah. Class. You know, I don't remember high school right now.
Yeah, it's a blur.
But
I was actually also a high school peer tutor at my high school's writing center. Which I found very rewarding, but I think my experience at the Uckable has been, I mean, I actually get paid to be an Uckable tutor.
True. We get paid.
Which is one big thing. But I think that the depth that I work with students in now is a little greater, just in the fact that, like, I feel like I'm helping more than I did in high school. Or I feel like I have, like, a little more exigence, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, we're still peer tutors and we're peers first, which is a huge part of that, because we are not, like, authority figures.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what I'm doing. And people come to me and they're like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, great, let's figure it out together. But I think in high school, at least in my own experience, there was a kind of, like, a weird, like, push for authoritative mm-hmm. feeling. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know what you're talking about, and people kind of expected that, and they're like, you know what you're talking about, and I was like, sir, I do not.
Actually, that was one of my questions. Me and Katie were talking about this a little bit yesterday. How do you guys relate to being a peer with your peers? Like, how do you establish authority without being, like, a jerk about it, basically? Because that was one of my issues in high school, was like, yeah, I want to help you, but also I don't know how to take authoritative stance without being a total jerk about it.
I actually just dealt with this because I've been helping a lot of sophomores with SAT prep, because they started that. And obviously, I didn't get, like, a perfect score or anything. So I'm like, I don't know for sure. You know, there's certain questions that come up, and they're, like, really confusing. And we kind of sit there and we both work at it. And I think that it's really helpful to also have teachers in there, because I actually had a teacher and he had to look it over. And I realized that, like, I don't know everything. Like, no one knows everything about what they're teaching. And even teachers sometimes don't really know. So it's just kind of knowing that fine line between, like, you're still a student, but you're just more advanced at what you're teaching. And it's just kind of like, it's really important to have peers to kind of help you, because it's just easier to talk with them. So seeing someone as a peer and as a friend, and just being like a kind of helping hand rather than like a tutor or teacher, someone with like a title, it's kind of more helpful to see it that way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For sure. Well, I think that's a great place to stop and take our first song break.
Song break.
So Zoe, you want to introduce your song?
always. I love this song. It's been stuck in my head all morning. This is Paralyzer by Finger 11.
Too desperately, but so far has not been fun. I should just stay home. If one thing really means one, this club will hopefully be closed in 3 weeks. That would be cool with me. Well, I'm still imagining a dark lit place, or your place, or my place.
That was such a jam.
I love that song so much.
I'll just say, that 2007 bop.
2007 angsty pop rock is my
amazing,
absolute favorite.
Also, I didn't know this. We just watched the music video for it, and it was really cool. So if you haven't seen it, look it up.
Got some good choreography.
We're back here at Skrull Radio, part of Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. We're sitting here with three high school Lit Lab tutors from Carl Sandburg High School.
Woo.
How are you guys doing? Checking back in. Doing good?
We're doing good.
Yep.
Good. Glad. So this part of the show, we wanted to talk about like personal experience a bit. So can you guys give me, if you got a story, your best experience at the Lit Lab, like an appointment you had, you were just like, oh, this is so great. And then your worst, or I guess least productive or most disappointing. Without naming names, keeping anonymous. Yeah, let's be nice, but also we understand that there are tough appointments out there.
The most least productive student that I've helped was, I could tell he had the paper due, like it had to be that day, because he typed it all on his phone, and every time he typed you or you, your, he always typed you or you are, like the letters.
Oh.
And after reading the first paragraph, it made me cringe so much. Like, I felt like his paper was not going to be, like, at all anywhere near at least a B.
Mm-hmm. And that's, like, a lot of pressure for you. It's yeah. like, this is due today. This my is my draft.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Make it better.
Make it better. Oh, yeah, that's stressful.
I haven't seen anybody type an essay on their phone since high school, so I definitely will tell you that that gets better at least. It's not on their phone, but it might be.
Better.
It might be as rough.
I can relate to that stress, though, when a writer comes in and is like, so I need this to be better. What do you think? It's like, I don't even, like, know. I didn't read the book that your report is on. Like, you're putting too much pressure on me, so I relate to that.
Yeah, yeah, I think that that's, like, a fear I have often here at the Equable, and I try to, like, move past it as best as I can, but I think there are some students who have the expectation of, like, if you help me, I will get an A, and if I don't, then it's your fault. And I'm like, I'm not, like I said, not the authority. Do not know what I'm doing here. I just happen to know a little bit about writing.
Well, before we move on to Laura and Amanda's stories, they do have name tags. Okay, but I want to say that a lot of times here at the Equable, we're very unfamiliar with, like, the context of this writer's class and their assignment. But something cool about you guys is you're in high school, so you pretty much know, like, what the classes are offered. You probably had to take most of them, so you kind of are familiar with, like, the layout of these teachers and what their papers look like. So I think it's very cool how much you can relate your own experience, because I don't know you folks, but a lot of times I struggle with, like, I don't know what your professor's looking for. I don't know, like, what you're learning about in this class. So.
Yeah, I have that experience as well. And it's often also, like, people bring me papers, and I'm a public relations major. So, like, I get, like, communications yeah. stuff. Like, bring me a communications paper or, like, a solid, like, research essay, and I can help you. But I've had a lot of, like, lab reports before from, like, bio majors where, like, Laura, you said you wanted to be a bio major or study genetics, and so, like, maybe you'd be great at that. But someone brings me a lab report, and I'm like, what? It's like, okay, read through this and make sure the content is good. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah. I have not taken a math class in 5 years.
I had someone come in and they asked me about world history. And I was like, okay, I think I could help you. I remember this class. And they're asking me about, like, all this stuff. And it was an essay, too. So I was like, okay, I could read through the essay. But it was a lot of, like, content and stuff. Oof. And I was really worried about getting it wrong because I didn't really remember the time period. Yeah. And that was definitely a struggle.
Yeah, it's hard to separate, like, content from actual, like, writing, like, organizational structures and stuff. But yeah, Amanda, do you have a best and worst appointment story?
I think the worst would probably be, again, like Eric, is with the time crunch. I think that there's this one boy who his paper is due the next day, but he wrote the whole thing in the wrong tense. So he was talking about a story, but he wrote it in the present tense. And we kind of had to go through and change the entire thing and change all that. So I never actually got to, like, read through it. And I just felt bad because, like, I wanted to read what he wrote and stuff, but we were focused so much on the grammar and just what he wrote that we never actually got to improving the actual content of it. So it just made me scared because I knew that he was going to turn that in. And I was like, oh no, I don't know what the story's about. I don't know if the teacher is going to think it's good. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that added teacher pressure is really rough. Laura, do you have a fun story for us?
Sure.
It's okay if you don't also.
So actually, best story would probably be that we have students who come in for SAT prep, and they are just, we're going over especially the English portions of it, and we had some students who came in, and they were just really involved and always asking questions. If they didn't understand something, they would always say, okay, what about this type of problem? And it was just very productive because we did get so much done. And I think that really helped the students a lot. As for worst tutoring experience, I think it's following a similar trend as Eric and Amanda's stories. Because it is the time crunch. I've had a student come in who was like, okay, I have this. Okay, great. So we're going to work on this. When's it due? They go next hour. So I was like, oh, okay. And of course, we have limited time, so we're trying to just look over it, get as much done, but again, just the time crunch, so.
Yeah, I unfortunately have been that writer who brings it in on the time crunch. I brought a paper in 20 minutes before it was due once.
Here?
Yep.
Sometimes you gotta do that.
It was like, yeah.
Well, we feel the same way here, whereas, you know, you run out of time and you didn't get to talk about everything and you feel like really guilty and you feel sad, you know, like you couldn't do everything. But how do you guys deal with like saying, you know, I did everything I could, you know, I just got to let go, let God right now? Because I still haven't been able to do that successfully. I still like am all angsty on the uncomfortable couch like, no. Anyone have advice?
You gotta act like a surgeon, I think. I've been watching a lot of Grey's Anatomy. Okay,
no,
I've been watching
a lot
of Grey's.
Surgeons.
Those don't make so much sense. Just let me. So, surgeons have to separate themselves from their patients.
Oh, okay.
They can't get like emotionally involved. I'm watching a lot of Grey's. If you don't know what Grey's Anatomy is, wonderful soap opera about a Seattle Grace Hospital, which is a teaching hospital. And all of these like people are learning how to be surgeons, and you know, in the show, like you meet their patients and you get all involved, and sometimes the patients don't live. Like sometimes they just die and you've gotten all involved.
Are you
involved.
Saying that our
No. I'm not saying that
die?
Yeah, I'm not saying that they're not gonna die, but the whole thing is I don't think like you're there to help, but you can't get like emotionally attached to
well,
the
yeah,
situation.
We're not the one who turns in the paper.
Yeah, you're not the one who turns in the paper. So
that's an excellent analogy, Gia. I just want to say that also doctors in real life see their patients die, not just
on Grey's Anatomy.
Patrick Dempsey. So you could have just said like doctors, but.
But I'm just like familiar with. I said surgeons like in general, okay? Like surgeons just see their patients die, and they gotta be like cool with it. They gotta be like, you know what? I did everything I could. I helped out here, but it didn't work out, and that's okay.
No, I think that was excellent. We do not have, you know, a doctorate. We're not doctors. I have about a year and a half of undergrad, but I feel similar.
About a year and a half of a communications major undergrad, but I feel fine.
I took a lot of electives. No, we're having fun, but I honestly, yeah. It's you got to separate yourself and know, you know, do your best work. But sometimes I think, well, what we talked about a lot in our, like I said, we have to take a class in order to become writing teachers. We talk a lot about appropriating another student's writing, which we cannot do. So. A lot of times I'll be like, ooh, this is a really good thing to add in your paper. Talk about this. Yeah. And a lot of times I'll hold back a little and try to suggest it more or hint at it rather than telling them that. Because if I tell someone a great idea to put in their paper, that's my idea. And as much as I want to see them like explore that and have a great idea in their paper, they didn't come up with it. And, you know, it's not their work. It didn't come from them.
Yeah. I have a hard time with that as well, because on the flip side, if I get a paper that I'm like super into and I'm like, this is, it's for a cool class. This is a cool paper. It's about like a cool topic. And I start spitballing. And like, especially if the paper is already like pretty good. Yeah. And they're like, I just want to know how to like expand. And I'm like, oh, let's talk about this. And like, I have all these ideas. And then I do have to step back a lot and be like, this isn't my paper. Like, I may have these. And, you know, maybe I'll do like a fun write later. And like write a mini paper
for fun
with all the ideas that I had, because they're my ideas. But yeah, I have a hard time.
I'll speak to that. If you guys do decide to become writing tutors in college, which obviously we recommend,
yeah. You'll
just like learn a lot from reading these papers. Like oftentimes I'll get a paper and like get really into the subject because I didn't know about it. And it's very interesting. Yeah. I recently had like an amazing girl come in. I told her to apply. I really hope she works with us next quarter. She's very cool, and she wrote a paper on Satanism in theater.
I know her.
You know
I
her?
So
well, she's, I think her name's Emily or something, or Megan. It's like basic. I don't know. She's amazing. Well, my name's Katie. I can say that, but yeah. Shout out to her and her incredible paper on Christopher Marlowe. Yeah, so like I was literally like researching her. I just like wanted to get her number and talk about Satanism in theater. So
support it.
I'm learning.
We are learning
every day.
We are learning
on the clock.
On the clock.
On the clock. We are learning.
Wow.
So, do you guys have any like fun stories about the best or worst appointments you've had? I think all my best appointments are just like they come in with an amazing paper and I don't really have any like structural comments, and they're just like, I just want to talk about the topic, and I'm like, yeah, we could do that. And that's my best appointments.
I enjoy those as well. I also enjoy those. I kind of have a best and worst wrapped into one.
Oh, dear.
Oh, that's fun.
A guy came in. He's a Loop Center regular in, you know, those. He comes in and he has a paper about Roy Moore. And it's his class.
Who's Roy Moore?
Roy Moore was a special election in Alabama.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Who?
I was thinking.
I can pretty objectively say bad dude. But.
That's right. I remember him now.
Not a good guy.
Not my favorite man in the world.
He was in a very interesting grad class, and it's like watching. It was like kind of like a lie detector class almost. It was watching how people speak and then like seeing if they're lying or not. And
wow.
Yeah.
You can take that for a class?
If you're a grad student, it's
college
available.
Is bananas.
College is bananas.
Truly, the classes you can take here.
There's a wine tasting class, just so you know.
Need to prove your age, though, so it's a bummer. So he used to watch this, like, Sean Hannity interview with Roy Moore, so it's already my worst nightmare. And, like, see, basically, like, this guy comes in and he thinks Roy Moore's like, he's like on his side, and he's like, these women are lying, and I'm like, obviously upset. And then I'm like, you know what, let's take a step back and let's show him some articles. Let's explain to him the psychology of a survivor as best you can, and like keep a calm head and try to like not change this man's mind. It's not my job to change his mind, but like give him a more like rounded perspective of things. And by the end of our session, our hour session, like, I don't want to be like, oh, he agreed with me. I made him agree with me. But he completely had a more sympathetic, empathetic view of things, a more truthful view of things. He was, like, on survivor's side and, like, ready to, like,
ready
it was,
to fight.
Like, I came into that appointment upset and, like, discouraged. And then by the end, it was like, what production? Honestly, he didn't come in with a draft. I don't think he came in with anything. I don't think he left with anything written. But it's fine. He comes in all the time. So, like, he kind of just wants to talk about assignments. And, like, the fact that he didn't write anything, but, like, I felt that was one of my most productive appointments is, like, that speaks to the Writing Center.
Well, I have a question then for my lovely Lit Lab friends. Do you guys do tutoring at any stage in the writing process, or is it generally just at the end? Like, do people come in to brainstorm with you guys, or just to, like, work through drafting, or...
I actually just worked with a friend who, she kind of had a few ideas for an essay. It was an argumentative essay. Mm-hmm. So that was a little more fun than like your normal essay, just because we got to explore so many different topics. It was on certainty and doubt in the relationship between them.
Wow.
So it was super broad. And we started talking about like MLK. We talked about Christopher Columbus. It went very historical for some reason.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
We talked about all these people, influential, whether positive or negative, and just their relationship with it and how they kind of dealt with it. And it was really interesting to talk about because we had so many historical stories, so many stories that were happening in the news, and we kind of got to talk about the topic, and it was fun for me, but it really helped her brainstorm ideas, and it kind of helped that we're both working together and adding on to stories.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Same thing here too. We have often students who come in who need to write a speech on something or a presentation, which is also nice because we do have a lot of speech and debate kids who tutor.
Oh, nice.
Like, I do debate, and so we'll often already have some sort of evidence or some articles or some knowledge about the topic,
mm-hmm.
which is really helping them brainstorm their ideas for the speech, and so I think that really helps them too.
Yeah, excellent. I think brainstorming is one of the most important processes to help people with.
I think that's cool because in high school, I think, like, oh, a lot of people come in with essays, but, you know, they're coming in with speeches too, because definitely in our writing center, people come in with all different stuff, like screenplays, like business memos, lab reports, essays, e-portfolios, resumes. So, yeah. And ask you this question. Have you learned any ways to, like, kind of tailor your tutoring to the specific genre you're working with? Because, like, I still have a little bit of trouble doing that. It's like, I'm not an expert on resumes. I can't. I'm having trouble getting hired. How do I help this person?
I really haven't, like, tailored how I've tutored, but I have learned things that, like, students have in common. Mm. Like, what they normally mess up, they normally mess up together.
Right.
Yeah.
So
common themes.
I tend to focus on those things more importantly than what I, like, would expect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah. I feel like there's definitely a big difference between students coming in with more creative essays and creative writing rather than like your typical essay. And as I've gotten older, I've learned more about like all different kinds of writing, and I've taken like a lot of classes on just different kinds of writing. And I think that's really helped, because no one comes in with just like the normal 5-paragraph essay. Like, there might be kids coming in with, like, this one teacher actually had them do TED Talks in their class, but it was like also a presentation, also a video. It was like this crazy huge project.
High school sounds intense, I'll say.
It was a freshman project. I was really surprised.
Wait, it was a freshman project and they had them do all that?
Yeah, all these freshmen
came
in.
That must be like a capstone.
Yeah, we actually, our teachers, they came in and they're like, okay, we need all our tutors because they're doing this huge project.
Holy moly.
And I was worried for them. I was like, okay, I'm definitely going to help these kids. And I'm on my school speech team, so I'm like, okay, I could help with TED Talks and all of that. And I think just working with different formats, like we also worked with like video project stuff and just working with like different kinds of stuff. It's not always your typical essay. It really helps the writing process in general.
Great. I love that you said writing process too, because we're all about process here. So I wanted to ask, how do you think that, I was talking about this earlier, but how do you think that working at the center has impacted your own writing, like as writers? Because like I was saying, I feel like I have a lot of advice and I know what makes a successful essay, but I often do not follow my own advice. However, working at the Writing Center has given me a bigger perspective on how to like, just on like a structure basis, like build a successful essay. And that's something I've taken away.
Something I say I would take it away was like, I tend to come up with more ideas like a lot quicker, like how to start your introduction, how to end your paper, and then transition sentences.
Which is like the hardest part, we'll say it.
Because after you have that, the paper is literally just from down there, it's
but
so
that,
simple.
That first intro sentence, you don't want to be a cliche. Mm-hmm. You don't want to go.
You don't want a quote from Abraham Lincoln.
You know, Webster's Dictionary defines.
Depending on the teacher, I just throw in a joke and then.
Oh, good one.
Start with a joke, then ease in.
Yeah. But also, too, like, I find when I'm studying, if I can teach someone else the material, it helps me learn it better as well.
Mm.
And I think the same thing applies here, even with writing skills and just general, you know, with essays and.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. I actually noticed that like with SAT scores, like being a junior, this really helps me because I see this stuff and then I'll see it on the SAT and I'm like, oh, I know that. I just helped a kid
SAT
with that.
Tutoring.
And it was really helpful. And just going over this again and again and always going through the process and just knowing like grammar rules, I think that the grammar also helps a lot because that's probably like the thing that I'm the worst at is like the grammar portion of it. So being able to help kids with that is actually like super helpful for SAT.
What about you guys, Katie, Zoe? Do you guys have anything you've taken away from the Writing Center as a whole?
This is really simple, but a trick that we like to throw around at the Writing Center is read your work aloud, which I had never done and I don't want to do, but it's incredible. It like makes you so aware of what your writing sounds like to a reader. And well, first of all, it's great for seeing grammar mistakes and like syntax mistakes and structure. And there's never a time where I've like read something aloud before I turn it in and I didn't change a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. And also just like when you read aloud, you truly do see the way you're writing and how it's laid out and how it sounds. And I will think like, oh, this is disgusting. I hate this. I'm going to change it. And it's wild, but like the auditory process of hearing it helps so much. And you wouldn't notice it if you're just reading it on Microsoft Word. Yeah. And I tell that to most students I work with, and I have like a little thing saved in my notes where I explain it. It's a paragraph and I'm like, this makes you aware of how your writing sounds to the reader, and I stand by it.
Yes,
I'm about that. I don't know,
but otherwise I do agree with you. I have a lot of stuff I've learned and don't follow because I'm lazy.
Because it's 5 a.m. and you have a paper due in a couple hours. And you're like,
we are busy bees.
Should I write this right now or should I go get a coffee and then write this, or get a coffee and then go hang out with my friends and then watch like some Netflix and then write this, because that's usually my morning.
Is all of the above.
Well, I think this is a good place to...
Wait, I have one more question. I do. Wait.
Be the buzzer.
More. Okay, no, I have one question for the Lit Lab people. I've been thinking about this a lot recently as myself. As, what are like three words that you would use to describe your personal tutoring style?
Oh.
I'll give you like a second.
We can gab while you think about it.
Yeah, we can have our music break and then come back with that question.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Also, we'll give you guys a couple minutes to think about that.
So we're gonna.
That's my new go-to thing. Is give me three words to describe your tutoring
your process.
Style.
Yeah.
Is it because we just started the spring quarter and your professors
My professors made me write down adjectives about myself? Yeah, this is exactly why that happened. All right, here is Spice Girls Wannabe.
That was Wannabe by the Spice Girls, aka one of the best songs ever written of all time. We're back here at Scroll Radio, wrapping up our show. in the final bits with some very special friends from Carl Sandberg.
Lit Lab. Do y'all have like a little jingle? Lit Lab.
We didn't have it for the show, but we usually have a theme song for the show.
We have a slogan. It's Time Flies in the Lab of Literacy. It's on the back of our t-shirts.
Oh, that's so pure.
We don't have a song.
That's good.
So that's sad.
We have a little like intro. It's like, every Friday morning at 11 o'clock, they pick up the mic and get ready to rock it. Scrawl, radio. And there's like a guitar solo. It's really great. Disappointed you can have
it. Anyway, back to the question that I asked before our little song break.
Yes.
Can you describe your tutoring style in 1 to 3 adjectives?
I'd say you'd have to be like adventurous going into it. You'd have to have the mindset of you're going into somebody's paper and you're going into something new.
Yes.
So like for
that.
A book that you haven't read, like I've never read Lord of the Flies.
Me neither.
But I've helped numerous amount of people like writing that book or writing a paper about that book. So I had to go out of my comfort zone into helping them with a book that I've never read. So that was a whole process itself, but I hope they all got good grades.
You can only ever hope.
You know, that's a great adjective. Yes.
I think it's important to be confident and understanding at the same time.
Ooh,
because if you're confident, you can help them with whatever they're writing. And the same issue as Eric. I know that a lot of kids come in, and I've had to help so many kids with Of Mice and Men, and I've never read it. But I've helped so many kids with that. I don't know why. They all come to me with Mice and Men. I've never read it, but okay, let's go. So I've had to kind of be more confident with stuff like that, but also understanding and realizing that I'm not a perfect writer. No one is, and we all kind of have our own style. So being like understanding of the way that they learn and they process information and they kind of write, and just like we're still working on it. Like this isn't the final draft and there's still work to be done, and just we're all here to help each other with it.
Yeah, I would definitely say being comfortable, talkative, and positive too, because I think those are very important. Really being comfortable with the students that come in, because they're talking to one of their peers. It's they're coming to you for help, and I think that's something that they want to be more casual about it. They're not going to their teacher, so it's not as maybe stressful for a lot of students. But also kind of talkative, just so they get their ideas out, so they can kind of talk about what their ideas are for this essay or for their speech or prompt, whatever they're working on.
Yeah.
But then also, I think it's always important to stay positive. You can't ever say like, oh, this isn't a good idea. You should, you know, always just kind of lead them in the right direction, but also keep in mind what they want. And yeah.
Absolutely.
Honestly, those were all like way better than I was expecting.
Zoe,
so props to you.
Zoe, what's your adjective?
My general adjective is just...
Yeah, see?
See, I know.
You can
I was,
dish it out, but you can't take it.
You know what? Fine. All right. My adjective is thorough. I like to get all the way in there and do my thing.
Do your thing.
Great.
Thank you.
I'd say mine
would be being relatable.
Oh.
Which is a very millennial term.
Yeah. Very you, though.
But, yeah, I think... speaking to what Laura was talking about with like rapport and being like a peer, you know, they are coming to you, not a professor. There's a difference, and I think just letting them know, like, I've been through this. I always tell people, like, this is something I do with my essays all the time, or like, this was an essay that I had a hard time on. Like, I just want people to know that, like, I'm not, like I said, I'm not the authority.
You're not.
But, you know, I'm here for them, and I understand what they're going through. Because I'm relatable.
All right, Katie, what about you? What do you got?
In a similar vein to Laura and Gia, I was going to say casual. Sometimes to a fault, sometimes I feel like I sound ridiculous, and I'm like, what's up? And, like, someone will tell me something, and I'll be like, word. And I'm like, I definitely do that all the time, and I'm like, maybe I should tone it down. But I... also think that's kind of good, because at the end of the day, I'm not an expert at all, as you were saying, and it really just is a conversation. You're not coming to me to like fix your paper. You're getting a second set of eyes. You're getting a second perspective on it. So I think approaching it from like, let's talk about it, let's hash it out, is important. And then my other one was appreciative, because I think a lot of times there's a discouraged writer coming into the writing center. They're stressed, they're insecure about their paper. And I think pointing out what you already have to work with that's good and what you can build on is important. Mm-hmm. And when you have some, when the writer has confidence about what they already have, you know, it's easier for them to build on it and create something good.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
A+. So, A+ all of you. Yeah. Good grids.
Great job, guys. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Yes, thank you.
Just a little round of applause for our Lit Lab tutors. Thank you so much. We've had such a lovely time talking to you. Now it's time for our wrap up. What you reading? We should get a jingle for what you're reading. We'll make one. We'll record it later. I do have something I'm reading, but does anyone want to go first? Are you reading anything interesting, Lit Lab readers? Even for class, you know?
All right. Well, it's actually a book that I'm reading for my macroeconomics class, and it's The Four. So I actually started reading it, and it's really interesting. It's about Amazon and Google and Facebook how they're kind of slowly taking over all these companies. World. Yeah, pretty much.
The world. So yeah.
But
drones,
it's really...
Drones, are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. It definitely talks about all this, and it's so current. And I just think it's really interesting. So
cool. Anyone else?
Yeah, in my English class, we've been reading a lot of op-eds just because we've been commenting on them and writing our own. Mm. And I don't know if I have a specific one. I've been reading all kinds. Sometimes I read political ones that are really serious, and I write about those. But other times I'll pick ones there's this one woman who wrote about McDonald's and how they're tricking kids into believing that food and toys go together. And I just thought that was funny that a lady wrote an entire article on that it bothered
her
that much.
Wild. Fun fact, yeah. There's an ethics teacher here, Sherwin Leff, he's a public relations ethics teacher, but he was one of the original people who created the idea of the Happy Meal.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so that's that little really food cool. with toys things. Thanks, Sherwin Leff.
Wow, he has an op-ed against
Is Sherwin Leff mad rich off the Happy Meal idea?
Oh yeah, he fully just teaches Rita Pollard for fun.
Ugh. Amazing, continue.
Anyways, yeah. Eric, what you got?
So recently I just finished reading the original Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Oh!
So that was an experience because we had a list of books that we had to pick to read, and that was the one that stood out to me because we all know the story of Dracula.
Yeah,
but
we do.
Not many people have read the original Dracula.
Yeah.
Which is surprisingly to me, Dracula's only in it for 5 chapters total. And the rest of it was just Jonathan Harker, which is what kind of made me like it more because it gave you someone else's experience except for Dracula's.
I have a big problem with Dracula, actually, in the sense that I've probably read it 4 or 5 times now, but I haven't read the last 2 chapters because I get so bored. So I've read everything. I've read it 5 times, but not the last 2 chapters ever.
That's so funny.
So I just get so frustrated because they're on the boat for 6 weeks and they're we're gonna go kill Dracula for 6 weeks.
And they keep planning it out for
them. And I'm like, you're on a boat. How far away is Transylvania? It's not that far away.
That's funny.
My issue with Dracula.
we'll unpack that later. Yeah, I've been reading. I mean, I'm still reading that book that I was talking about last season, Little Life.
Well, because
it's massive. It's 800 pages, and I do not have time. The Chicago Public Library hates me. I've renewed it so many times.
I have to turn some books today.
Truly. But I am reading something else I found in a neighborhood library, one of those library boxes, and I exchanged something for it. It's Lena Dunham's book... not like most girls or not like
not like other girls.
I myself we all know that Lena Dunham is problematic as hell. Mm-hmm. She's so problematic.
Mm-hmm.
She's
also just annoying. I was just commenting that she's also just annoying.
No, that's super true. Lena Dunham is so problematic and so annoying, and she is not the brand of feminism that I think anyone should subscribe to. But she's a good writer. She really
is. That's
what
I've heard.
She produces good art.
I've read several passages from Not Like Other Girls, and it's pretty good, which I hate to say.
Yeah.
Also, Girls was not a horrible show to watch.
Girls was
pretty okay.
Pretty good. As much as I want to make fun of it, I watched all the seasons.
Yeah. I mean, at times it was for Adam Driver, but like she was actually pretty good.
I think he looks like a washing machine.
But in a way that you kind of like.
Like his face or like him?
Just like his body. Like, oh, okay. you know that picture of him? Yeah. And he is from like a set of Star Wars, and he's just a square.
Okay. I thought you meant his face was a washing machine.
I'm with Amanda. I love that.
We all want washing machine. I was so surprised I actually like Girls because I didn't expect to because I'm like, oh, Lena Dunham, you know? And then I was like,
no.
Oh, it's actually
I think
good.
The part about Girls I really like is that you're not supposed to like anyone because right. Everyone's the worst.
They're terrible.
Oh, they're all awful.
Horrible.
But her book is really good, and I'm really enjoying reading it. She's a fantastic writer, but yeah, you're reading it, and it's like the same like hijinks that you would expect from Lena Dunham,
right?
Where she's talking about like her sex life a lot, and then she's like being like too quirky, you know? And right. I'm reading it, and I'm like, oh, the prose are so good. These like the storytelling is so good, but why? But yeah, I would hate read Lena Dunham's book. You know, valid. 10 out of 10 for hate reading.
Valid.
So are you reading anything?
I'm currently got my hands in many different pies with school right now. I've got like I'm reading some Foucault. I'm reading some sexual.
We're both reading Foucault.
I read Foucault last quarter, and a big fan.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
He's got some cool ideas about sexual history.
Yeah. I'm also reading like Martin Friedman, who's just like...
I love Friedman.
I don't know. His economic theory is wild.
I read Friedman for an economics class, an honors economics class, and it was bananas.
It's a little bananas. He's very like... I just read his chapter about government-funded education in one of his books. And it's I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what he wants. Not going to lie. He's a little bit of a confusing man. But
it was valid. I feel really good about getting off my chest that I do like to consume some Lena Dunham content. Any HBO 30 minute show though, I'm gonna watch the hell out of it, and I'm gonna like stan it. But remember, I'm gonna throw back to Zine episode last season. We Madeline H, a guest we had on who also works at the Writing Center, said she was in a like young adult class.
Yeah.
For I'm taking a Native American literature class this quarter, and we have to read like a young adult. It's called The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian.
I love that.
I've read that book. It's amazing.
And he was like, I know a lot of you had to read this in high school. It's for like tweens. And I was like, I didn't read this, but I have to read it as like a college student, and like very cool. Very cool to explore. It's like set up like Diary of a Wimpy Kid, literally. It has like drawings and like it's a diary, but it's like talking about like important issues and like alcoholism on a reservation, and like in that genre is very wild to see. Mm-hmm. And it's so, I mean, you like we said, we're all busy. It's so easy to read just to flip through those pages because it's written in the young adult way. And I'm like, I've returned to my youth. I love it.
Oh, well, we love that.
We love that.
That's about all the time we have for today.
Thank you all again for coming and choosing to be on this show
and
today.
Being wonderful Writing Center tutors.
Yes,
thank you for having us.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that's it for Skrull Nation. We'll see you next week, same time, same place. Until then, stay warm, everyone.
Au revoir.